You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on only the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Greg Sussman, alongside Scott Angle, Corey Parson, and Tony Cincotta. Gentlemen, we have some exit polling in on your teams, on your candidacies. Right now, with a 60-40 lead in early exit polling, it is Scott Angle's red team, or red ticket, we'll call it, the red ticket, that is outperforming yours, Corey.
Well, there's still plenty of time to get out there and get the votes going.
Make sure you vote.
We need the urban communities to wake up.
That's right.
Oh, now he's playing this.
Right.
Yeah, you know. Go to your synagogue and vote.
Greg, our poll has reached epic proportions. Yes. The Catholic Defender has retweeted our poll.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
That's scary. coming up later on this hour, we will have our second poll of the morning. Will Scott Angle will swap to blue, and Tony will take Tony will defend the red.
Anybody who votes for me will get a discount on the exclusive.
How about that?
Football package.
That is paper play politics.
It is now.
That is the problem. That is paper play politics.
It's a free radio and checkout for a special discount. Read my advanced scout.
He should be disqualified. Lock him up.
Corey.
Enter free radio and check out for a special discount.
When Scott goes low, we go high.
She needs to leave that one.
She's also stolen. She's stolen that from Michelle.
Yeah, no.
I also love her line, Tony, about deal me in. Oh, my God.
You know, what are people going to do? Like, people are going to have withdrawals from this election, right?
You got to listen to this show.
This has been 2 years. But here's what's going to happen. I really think that what's happened is this entertainment process of the election is something that is going to spur these guys to actually run for president for 3 years. So I think we're going to have like only a 1 year break.
Right.
And then we're going to have people start running for president for the 2020 late in 2017, early in 2018, and it's going to be the most vicious cycle that we've ever had in a presidency, because I think we'd have 20 plus candidates in the next election.
Okay. So that's terrible.
An early prediction.
So I was actually watching last night. Our early prediction there from our pollster.
20 plus candidates.
Our pollster here, Tony Cincotta. I was actually watching CNN last night and just seeing the Obama speak and then Hillary Clinton. It was just like, oh, this is what we're dropping off to. That has nothing to do with their policies. It was just like their speaking ability.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Barack Obama was the most hated president probably in my lifetime. And yet, in the last year, he's really turning around when everybody looks around and sees what else is out there.
Yeah,
right?
People like him now.
I mean, people hated this guy.
People were recency biased. They'll try to remember what he did towards the end.
His approval rating is like through the roof right now.
Yeah, because maybe people are comparing him to the current candidate, too.
Yeah, that was an amazing turnaround for Barack Obama. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what they do next. If he's
the Obamas?
Like, if I was him, I would just go off the radar, and I would, like, try to land the Monday Night Football gig.
I'm hoping he'd
be better than Dennis Miller.
No, I'm hoping he could replace Roger Goodell, honestly. I think he'd be a good replacement for Goodell.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, that would be cool.
How would you say no to that if you're an NFL owner, the former president of the United States?
You
can't.
What do you think Michelle winds up doing?
Oh, she's going to be a superstar.
She is a superstar.
Yeah, she is a superstar. She can do what she wants to do right now.
Yes, Chris.
She's going to take over Trump TV.
In all seriousness, if Hillary wins, I would like Hillary to name her in her cabinet. I think that would be cool.
She's not political.
Well, I think she should take over for Oprah.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. That's a lot of people are saying.
There you go.
Yeah. You know what? What about Kelly Ripa and Michelle Obama? Maybe that's why Kelly Ripa hasn't named her replacement yet.
That's a good one.
I bet that's possible.
I see where you're going with that.
They still have children, they still have a child in school, though, so they have to be in Washington, D.C. area.
Only for a little while, right?
I think another 2 years.
Another 2 years?
The youngest daughter is the same grade as my son.
Okay.
My son is in the 10th grade, so it's
2 years.
It's
an hour by a private plane.
It's
true. I think Barack should coach the Jaguars.
He's a basketball guy.
He's a basketball guy.
He's a basketball
guy. Can't do worse than Gus Bradley.
He spent $31 million of our taxpayers' money to play golf with Tiger Woods.
Right. Let him coach the Knicks and run the triangle.
Not the triangle. All right, let's talk a little waiver wire, guys. Starting with the running backs. We spoke earlier about Capri Bibbs. I'm going to start with you here, Corey. Because you said, hey, you can play Capri Bibbs and Devontae Booker this week.
This week. You can do that
so
this week.
So how much will you spend? Capri Bibbs is out there in a lot of leagues. How much will you spend on the waiver wire?
He's not going to be my top guy at running back. Once again, it's another dude that you may have to play this week. Four teams on buys, injuries. Keep hawking that point. Listen, it works sometime, but Tim Hightower like it did. You're also going to have your Peyton Barber games. I think that the coaching staff seems to be intrigued to getting him the football more. This is a good week for him because he has a good matchup. So this week, put a bid in. I would say no more than a 5 to 7% bid. If only you need to play him this week,
Scotty.
Here's the thing with these. But when these items, when the coaches say publicly, we're going to give the other guy another shot, it serves as a motivator to the lead running back. So maybe they come out and they play better. So I see where you're coming from with your bid, because it's like Tony talked about before. It could be smoke, but we do have to prepare for it.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to spend a ton of money on it.
Yeah, I don't want to miss it, put it like that.
Suspect, I'm a little distracted, so I got to ask you one question
please,
before you move forward.
Please, yes.
Does the President of the United States, Barack Obama, does he have to ask approval to his wife, Michelle Obama, that I am going to go this weekend and play golf with Tiger Woods? And how did that go over? Like, what would her representation, like, think about it. When your husband wants to play golf with Tiger Woods, that could be a problem. And how does that happen when you're the President of the United States?
Well, is he allowed to go out with Jay-Z as well? I mean, the whole lemonade thing with Beyonce. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a great question.
Good point, yeah.
It's a great question.
I would love to know how, behind the scenes, how that family works.
Maybe it's the same way as the Clintons work, where
maybe
it's just
you should
like,
go play
you
golf with Tim Tebow instead.
Well, I'm sure Michelle would prefer that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that Hillary and Bill haven't spoken. Thank God for this election, or they probably wouldn't have spoken in a month.
Years, Tony. You think they see each other? You think she's allowing him to move into the White House with her if she wins? Are you out of your mind?
Bill, hey, Bill don't give a shit. He's like, put me in the basement. I don't care.
But what goes to go on in that basement?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You know what I think is crazy? You have like
Chelsea. Where are the interns?
You have Chelsea. You have Chelsea on the stage with her father, knowing all these things that her father did, it's crazy to me. It's crazy.
I mean, they know Pops was Rolling Stone. You know what I'm saying?
Still is, my man.
Yeah.
Hey, Tony, let me ask you about this. Paul Perkins, who a lot of people were on last week saying, get him before everybody else does. He had the majority of the carries in the second half last week. I still think Rashad Jennings starts, but Paul Perkins looks like the better running back. But the Giants can't run the ball for anything. What do you do about Paul Perkins this week on the waiver wire?
I do nothing because there's two big problems here. And I give a lot of credit to Brendan Marianne Lee of the Pro Football Focus. She broke this down on one of the Fantasy Sports Network television shows this week. Paul Perkins can't pass block, right? And this is a team that threw the ball 36 times a game. So they would basically take him out every time they would pass the ball. They would put him in plays in the second half when they would run the ball, which dictates to the defense exactly what's going on a team that already can't run the ball. So I think Perkins is in trouble till next year until he proves that he can pass block and can stay on the field. He won't be able to stay on the field there. Rashad Jennings is the number one pass blocking running back in all of the National Football League.
That's actually very, very interesting. So are you spending – what about your budget, Scotty?
There's two things about Paul Perkins. Number one, he's jinxed because Mike Cardano picked him up. Mm-hmm. Second off, the one thing about Perkins, though, is he's shown a little bit of spark in the passing game at times. So maybe they give him more of a chance here. But I'd spend more on Capri Bibbs than I would on him.
Okay, I agree with that for the record. Dwan Harris, I don't know if he's still out there, but we don't know about Carlos Hyde this week. We'll see. Dwan Harris, definitely somebody that you probably want to consider. We spoke about James Starks
a little bit earlier.
My number one guy here on this list would be Chris Ivory, if he is out there. Given what Nathaniel Harris is Nathaniel Hackett as the offensive coordinator there. He wants to run the ball. That is why he's the offensive coordinator. If Ivory's out there, how much are you spending?
Ivory's out there, and I need a running back. I'd spend a good $35 out of $100. Here's the thing, and I wrote about this in my new advanced scout on rotoexperts.com. Hackett's being smart, okay? Blake Bortles is an erratic disaster at quarterback. You need to offset that by running the ball. You have two talented running backs. Chris Ivory led the AFC in rushing last year. It's smart football. Nathaniel Hackett might be the first smart guy on that coaching staff in Jacksonville.
Corey, how much are you spending on him?
If Chris Ivory is on your waiver wire, I think you have, that's a situation that you do, I agree with Scott, a situation that you do have to take seriously. I think Scott said, Scott put him at 35% of your remaining budget. I still think you got to remember this is the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I still think they're going to be in situations where the football is in the air a lot. It was good to see that workload this week, but you're talking about a team like the Kansas City Chiefs where they can play that game with them because Kansas City don't want to air it out. So what I will say is this, that 35 is a bit high for me. I think I would drop that down to about 25% of your remaining budget if you need a running back. And I think Chris Ivory would probably be the top guy on the wire this week.
I agree with you in concept. The reason why at 26.
Yeah.
But I always say good 26 is good because you want to go 36. You don't want to put even numbers so you can only win the bid if somebody ties. But I feel like if you have, if you want Chris Ivory, especially in a situation where you're desperate for help, you got to overspend a little to insure yourself.
I get that.
Tony, sky's your 35.
25.
I'm going to say 36.
36.
Yeah.
You said 25, Corey. Where are you, Tony? Here on Chris Ivory.
I think the fantasy executive and the king, Scott Engel, and I don't know why we have a king involved in the democratic process.
Great question.
That's a whole different story. I'm going to go higher. I think that you got to realize what week it is. It's week 10. Like, where is this guy going to come out of the woodwork that you're saving your money for? You have to go 50% of your budget and make a strong move here. And when we're talking about a position, a scarce position, if this was fantasy baseball, we'd be talking about position scarcity at the running back position. We don't talk about it enough in football. I would fire out at least 50% of my budget to land Ivory. We're talking about a guy that doesn't have a great matchup this week, but I'm still expecting him to get 15 touches to 18 touches in that offense in Jacksonville.
I look at Chris Ivory, guys, just for, to me, he's my number one running back. I want to add also, and Tony's right. As you have said on multiple occasions, Corey, maybe your tagline is, you can't spend fab at the strip club. You might as well spend that money. And Chris Ivory right now, with bye week still going, Chris Ivory is through his, they want to run the ball. You might as well spend a good significant portion of
the FLF. I know some guys
from
the FSTA convention, though, who would try to spend fab at the strip club. I've been to the strip club with some of the FSTA guys, and I think they'd try to do it.
We mentioned Robert Kelly earlier. He is a starting running back. Would you spend more on him, Tony, than you would on Chris Ivory?
Yeah, I would because, as Corey pointed out, it's still a Jacksonville Jaguars offense, and the Redskins are going to have more scoring opportunities.
Yeah.
They have a great game coming up on Thanksgiving where they're going to play at Detroit, which I can't believe the National Football League didn't have the brains to realize that they could have the Washington Redskins playing on Thanksgiving Day, where the Redskins' name's going to come up, and we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving at the behest of the Native Americans who were robbed of their land, and this is going to happen all on Thanksgiving Day. It'll be talked about for 4 days. Roger Goodell will be replaced by Barack Obama. I'm now on that train.
Thank you.
The Cleveland Indians are not going to win until they change that logo.
Why are you confused?
They play Detroit and Washington playing on Thanksgiving?
Well, that's what Tony said.
Okay. I thought Dallas and Washington playing on Thanksgiving.
No, you're right.
Okay, I'm
confused.
My bad.
Yeah, 4:30.
But they do play.
100% right.
They do play.
That's intriguing. Last time Dallas and Washington played on Thanksgiving was an amazing game for Robert Griffin III. So that goes to show
Cowboys and Indians on Thanksgiving.
Cowboys and Indians on Thanksgiving.
Oh, boy.
It's weird.
Get your toy soldiers
out. I guess there's nothing more Thanksgiving than that, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
What we got next, Greg?
Next running back I got on my list to talk about is Dwayne Washington in Detroit. Mm-hmm. He has surpassed Zach Zenner as the big back here. Didn't look very good, but it was against Minnesota, and he is just Corey and Dwayne Washington.
Nah, I have Dwayne. I am a Dwayne Washington owner in several teams, and he's the reason why the teams aren't better because I spent my fab money on him early in the season. He looked very good in the preseason, but I didn't take into consideration that this kid is undrafted free agent. I don't think he is NFL ready yet. I think this offense goes through the air. As a matter of fact, I'm not putting no stock in Dwayne Washington. I'm saying this is a guy that could maybe fall in the end zone. You look at the point totals, 6.1, 3.1. 6.1, 3.1, 4 points when he had 10 carries. Another 10 carries this week. He scores 2 fantasy points. It's nothing you can do with this.
Yeah, he has replaced Zach Zenner as the 1.9 yard per carry
guy. He's a fall in the end zone.
I don't even know if he can do that. Because I was watching him last week. He's hesitant. He runs high. Yeah. From a scouting perspective, he looks overwhelmed in the NFL.
I look at Dwayne Washington as someone that I spent fab as well.
Yep. Yeah, we all did.
So, unfortunately, I can't buy this thing again.
Don't go back there. It's not many places you can go.
Okay.
But one of the places you do not want to go is the Dwayne Washington. That's a next year thing.
Two more running backs here on my list.
Maybe a 2018 thing.
Two more running backs here on my list. Scott, I'll start with you. There are no assurances that Doug Martin is coming back this week. Would you like to buy Peyton Barber?
I already have. I've got him on two teams. But if he's out there, I think, you know, we've seen with guys like Jacquizz Rodgers that this team will give whoever's in next in line a significant workload. So I'd be buying Peyton Barber at about $22, $23 if I really needed a running back. So I would say, you know, as Tony would say, go to the barber.
Okay. Tony, Peyton Barber or Kenneth Dixon this week on the waiver wire?
Yeah, Kenneth Dixon has a great matchup, but it's all about how many carries. I think he gets some carries, so I would take a shot on Kenneth Dixon. I still would prefer Terrence West if I out of the duo. He's the guy with the job. I always go with the guy with the job. But the Cleveland Browns, you've seen, I think the Dallas Cowboys lit them up for 36 rushing attempts this week. I look for the same thing to happen in this game. That Tampa Bay-Chicago game is interesting because both teams' defensive backs are the problem in that game. So I like the wide receivers in that matchup as opposed to the running backs.
Yeah, Chicago's not terrible against the run. I think in the short term you want Peyton Barber for the volume. Tony says Terrence West has the job, but, you know, the way he's ran the last two games, you know, I see where he's going.
Well, the other guy ran 9 times.
Yeah, Kenneth Dixon
less than 2 yards a carry.
More upside for the long term, hopefully.
But that long term is not this season.
Yeah, I don't know if you want any Baltimore running back, you know.
I think it's more of a headache than anything. But with Peyton Barber, I like that. I think 30% of the bid because he is going to be, like you said, they give these fringe, these journeyman running backs, he's going to get touches. He's going to touch the football. Last week, touched the football 11 times, and he caught 4 passes. And you know what I mean? So that's 15 opportunities right there for Peyton Barber with the football in his hand. Listen, he's a low-end 10, 11, 12, 13. If he gets a touchdown, you might hit 18. You know, so it's guys like that that we're looking for right now, unfortunately. So, I mean, Peyton Barber's going to be on some playoff teams. Hopefully he's not in your roster.
You've got to remember, though, Antoine Smith was named the starter, right? And then 15 minutes before the game, they switched. So, I mean, that's a situation you want to deal with.
Yeah, it could be Mike James in a minute.
Well, Antoine Smith, Mike James, we've seen that before. Antoine Smith
Barber's
is done
guy,
now.
Though.
Yeah, like I said, I give him 30% just because I think the workload is safe. I tell you who my top running back on waiver wire is this week, if he's there, Greg, is Thomas Rawls.
Thomas Rawls, who could be back in 2 weeks. Christian Michael, obviously, not looking great here. So Thomas Rawls, if he's out there, for you, is your guy.
Ronnie Hillman also.
I know I'm going to take
some heat for saying Ronnie Hillman, but come on now. Ronnie Hillman is still a talented player. They got Jerick McKinnon, who they're not. The offensive line stinks. McKinnon should be the guy that should be featured.
He outsnapped Ronnie Hillman.
Who, McKinnon?
Yeah.
McKinnon had the ankle problem, though, this past week. Mm-hmm. And this team doesn't block for anybody. I can't do Ronnie Hillman. Signed off the street on a team that can't block for anybody. I can't do it.
I guess nobody's behind Ronnie Hillman, huh, Tone?
Get the hell out of here.
You know who is?
Who?
Your boss, so you've become the company man, and I congratulate
you. There you go.
Mike Cardano was
been
back
a long time
him.
Coming. It's a long time coming. You fell in line with management, Corey, so congratulations.
Yeah. All right. That's also a guy that started Kai Forbath when he's inactive. So
there you go. You have Corey's picks, Thomas Rawls or Ronnie Hillman. Scott, any running backs that were not on the list that you want to pick up?
Any running backs on the list that I wanted? I think we covered everybody pretty well there.
All right. Tony, any running backs we didn't mention you'd like to pick up?
No, here's the thing.
Okay.
Bang for your buck. Go and pay the money for Chris Ivory. Forget all these marginal candidates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. That's true. Chris Ivory,
I'll
Rob
pay
Kelly.
You to take Ronnie Hillman.
When we come back, those are the running backs you wanted us to talk about. Now we'll talk about some wide receivers and tight ends and get to your phone calls at 844-843-6879. The Roto Experts roll on right after this. Back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, Greg Sussman, alongside the King Scott Angle, Corey Parson, and Tony Cicada as well. Going over your waiver wires, we'll also have our next vote coming up at 8:40 this morning. And our current vote stands where, Chris Pavona?
Right now, it looks like we are a red nation, as Scott's red team is at 66%.
Wow, voting red. Scott, you've seemingly done enough to win the vote, your first vote here.
Yes, I look forward to referee reform.
You look forward to referee? Yes. I didn't see that your platform.
I guess you didn't read the entire ticket.
I probably didn't. You're right. It's my own fault. Hey, let's talk about some wide receivers we could pick up.
I'm always down for that.
I do want to start with one of your guys, Corey, and that's Rishard Matthews, because Rishard Matthews scored 2 touchdowns this past week. We talk about seemingly a Tennessee wide receiver every week, and whether it's Rishard Matthews now, Tajae Sharpe at the beginning of the season. We had Kendall Wright in there as well. Andre Johnson, before he retired, was in there as well. So Marcus Mariota, you were telling me during one of the breaks that he's what, number 6 overall quarterback points per game?
Yep. Was it six or was it four?
I think it was 6.
Okay. Yeah, Marcus Mariota going to the streak right now, definitely getting it done, playing as like a top fantasy quarterback.
With that being said, we're always looking for a wide receiver in Tennessee.
Yes.
Rishard Matthews had 2 touchdowns this past week. Is he somebody picking up?
Yeah, you have to pick him up if he's on the waiver wire. Let me tell you right now, Rishard Matthews has more fantasy points than Willie Snead, who's owned everywhere. He has more fantasy points than Alshon Jeffrey, DeAndre Hopkins, Randall Cobb. So this is a player that's involved in the mix. Now, the offense runs through DeMarco Murray first, not to mention the fact you have Delanie Walker in the mix. They do not want to be throwing the football up and down the field, but when they do decide to, the most consistent, reliable target for the number 4 or 5 quarterback in all of fantasy is Rishard Matthews, okay, the number one option behind Delanie Walker in the passing game. Understand, it could be some inconsistency, but I think he comes with a safe floor, Scotty.
Here's the thing. Double-figure fantasy points, PPR, 5 of the last 6 games. Mm-hmm. The thing is, and this is good because you outlined all those guys ahead of him. People get attached to names rather than the production we were talking about earlier.
Yep.
Right? The thing is, he's got 4 touchdowns in his past 5 games. How much can we count on Rishard Matthews to be touchdown dependent?
Tony?
You know what's crazy is that I am not a Marcus Mariota guy. And the thing is, I want guys that stay in the pocket, and I want guys that throw the ball. And he doesn't throw it enough with DeMarco Murray. Yet, that's what you perceive. Yet, I look at the Marcus Mariota's attempts right now. He's at 291. Cam Newton, who's a very similar guy that doesn't, you know, stay in the pocket, that likes to run, he only has 239. We have no hesitancy at putting Cam Newton in our lineup, so we should have no hesitancy at putting Marcus Mariota in our lineups. And Rishard Matthews is the guy in that offense. So I think a lot of times we have to get past that and look at the numbers for what they are. And absolutely, Rishard Matthews is the guy you could put in your lineup.
How much are you spending on him, Tony?
I would not go crazy because it's a wide receiver, which is different from the running back position, but I would spend 10% of my budget.
I think that's fair as well. I spend like $11 or so.
I'd spend 14.
Just 14. Yeah. All right. Jameson Crowder's still out there in a lot of leagues, Corey. He's also your boy.
Yeah, you know how I feel about Jameson Crowder, but I agree with Tony. Don't go all in on a wide receiver, but if he's out there, then people in your league. You play in a league where you don't have to go all in to get him. You feel what I'm saying?
If he's still out there,
If he's still out there, Robert Woods also could still be out there. But I'm sorry, Greg, you go ahead.
No. I'm happy you brought up Robert Woods. He was the next guy I wanted to bring up after last night's fantastic performance. People weren't buying in here to Robert Woods for some reason. He is the number one wide receiver in this offense. I believe the Bills do have a bye this week, though.
It's a good chance to sneak him.
It's a good chance to sneak him.
You get him for a
through.
Buck, then.
Yeah, it's a good chance to sneak him through because everybody's desperate for a win.
Let me ask you, fellas, the guy I'm curious about that's on waiver wire, that's probably on waiver wires right now, is Mohamed Sanu. Matt Ryan is having a phenomenal season.
I don't think he's on the waiver wires.
You don't think so?
I can't believe Jamison Crowder's on a waiver wire. So if he's on a waiver wire, I would think Sanu
it's
has
the same
to be
type of league. Yeah, you want to spend much, right?
Okay.
I picked him up 3 weeks ago in 2 different leagues, and And I just put him in my lineup each and every week, and it's amazing. That offense is that good. And with Tevin Coleman out of that lineup, it gives more usage opportunities for Mohamed Sanu, so you can ride that wave. Absolutely is a guy you have to add.
With Robert Woods, though, are people going to overreact and overbid because he's coming off a 10-catch, 162-yard game? Let's remember, and I'm not saying that Robert Woods isn't a viable pickup, before last night, the guy only had one game over 55 yards receiving, and he has only one touchdown catch all year.
I think the offense is starting to get rolling now. I think we're going to see better things from Buffalo going down the stretch. I was very impressed the way they went into Seattle last night and battled.
I was also super impressed with that. It was a big spot for them. They have a very, very tough environment, Monday Night Football in Seattle. And they battled. I'm with you guys.
So but I think the number one wide receiver pickup this week is Marquise Lee.
Okay.
I think he would be number one. Russell Shepard's interesting, too. Mike Evans in the concussion protocol, but it is. Mike Evans. I thought he's in the concussion protocol.
He's in the concussion protocol.
Russell Shepard, you said.
No, yeah, Russell Shepard with the hip. We got to worry about him.
Yeah.
But I was saying because Mike Evans is in concussion protocol, that's why Russell Shepard could actually be the number one this week.
He missed the last game, so we have to find out.
He looks like, remember, Mike Evans is going to play this week. I think things are looking good for him.
Number one wide receiver in fantasy.
Mike Evans, number one wide receiver in fantasy. You know, I asked somebody earlier this week this question. I'll propose it to you guys. Scotty, you own Julio Jones. You trade Julio Jones straight up for Mike Evans?
No. I'm not even talking about that.
Well, I know you're talking about it. I brought it up.
No, I'm saying I'm not going to discuss it. To me, it's not a trade I'm going to make. These are two similar ranked players at the same position. I don't upgrade. I don't fill a need. So
I think maybe, but if you think Mike Evans is going to have a better
rest of the season, they're both going to be spectacular the rest of the way, in my opinion.
What? Okay, let me phrase the question like
those are the trades that don't make sense to me.
Let me phrase the question like this, Scotty. Say you have an issue where you're heavy at wide receiver. And you are weaker.
Hold on. Sorry, before you do that, there is a reason to do it. Julio Jones still is a bye. Mike Evans does not.
That makes sense.
You are a team that's trying to make the playoffs. Would you trade Julio Jones for Mike Evans?
If you're saying I'm 4-5.
You're 5-4, 4-5, yeah.
That's the only situation where I would consider it and do it.
Okay.
And you said do it.
And you said you would do it.
I would do it, yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was what I was looking for.
But that's a rare instance.
Well, it's not rare for a lot of people, though.
Say, and I pose the question.
I'm 5-4 in three leagues.
In any other situation, the trade doesn't make sense.
I pose the question to you and Tony. Say you're stacked at wide receiver. You got Evans. You got Evans. You started. You went wide receiver heavy. You got Evans. You got T.Y. Hilton. Mm-hmm. You hit on a guy. You hit on some of the other players. You got Golden Tate on the team. You got wide receivers depth, and your receivers are doing good right now. Would you trade Mike Evans for LeGarrette Blount?
I'm getting Mike Evans.
You're getting LeGarrette Blount.
I don't want to do it.
Your running backs are Peyton Barber and your running backs are Peyton Barber and Isaiah Crowell.
And who's my wide receivers?
You're stacked at wide receiver.
Then I would go down a little bit for Mike Evans.
Correct.
Still trade a very good wide receiver.
Correct.
Blount. I go down my list a little bit.
Correct. I agree with Scotty.
You're telling me David Johnson or something like that, then we're talking.
Right.
But I think the wide receiver has less value on the trade market. So I don't think you can get David Johnson. I wouldn't. If I'm a David Johnson owner, you can offer me Antonio Brown, and I'm telling you no.
Yeah. Okay. So let me go down the ladder a little bit. If you say Melvin Gordon, okay.
Okay, Melvin Gordon, yeah. DeMarco Murray?
For Mike Evans?
Yeah. Are you worried about DeMarco Murray's injury?
Yeah, I am. I wouldn't do it.
I would take DeMarco Murray.
I would do it, too. I would do that, too. Okay. Let's continue on some wide receivers. Corey mentioned Russell Shepard. That's how we got to Mike Evans.
Sorry.
Tony, where are you and Russell Shepard here?
I like the matchups they got coming up in some of these games. They like to throw the ball. I'm not in love with him. He's not a great player by any stretch of the imagination, but opportunity does equal some success and gives him some looks. I would go with a couple dollars on Russell Shepard and nothing more.
I kind of agree with you there. Scotty?
He's a plug and play.
Okay.
$2.
All righty. You mentioned Chris Hogan before. He may have been dropped in some leagues with New England on a bye. I actually am in a league where he is available here. Chris Hogan, Scott, he's been your guy most of the way. How much are you spending on him?
He's boom or bust, but it depends on your needs. I think so far he's been boom or bust. I think there's some games where he might be more consistent. I think if you need a wide receiver, I'm willing to go about $5-6 on him.
Okay.
That's it?
That's it.
Yeah.
You need a wide receiver, you're only $5-6 on your boy Chris Hogan. You think it should be more, Corey?
I think he's a double-digit guy.
Okay.
There you go.
Tony?
Are you going to he's a good matchup to line up this week against the Seattle Seahawks as they will try to throw the ball against this team, and Tom Brady will try to flex his muscles on TV. I wouldn't go crazy, though, because they have so many weapons in New England. Mm-hmm. I would go $8 or $9.
All right. $8 or $9. So, Corey, you're the big spender.
I'm going 10%.
Big spender here. You mentioned Marquise Lee as somebody that it would be your number one ad this week, Corey, at the wide receiver position, given that Allen Hurns is very well out with a concussion issue here this week. Marquise Lee does play for the Jaguars. It sounds like you're buying the Jaguars this week.
Yeah, I like the nature of the game when it comes to fantasy. I understand Chris Ivory will probably more than likely be getting involved more, but I still think that they go back to that helter-skelter, Blake Bortles, throw the football, play from behind. So I like Marquise Lee. Also, if Eli Rogers happens to be on the waiver wire, I think he can be an intriguing play down the stretch also.
Yeah. It's on the list. Eli Rogers is a wide receiver with Big Ben. We talked a lot about him yesterday, and now I want to put a number to Eli Rogers. Scotty, you said you liked him.
I do, and I wrote about this in the Advanced Scout, which is available on rotoexperts.com right now.
Yes.
Part of your in-season
pay for play
edge package. And the free radio checkout for a special discount where you've already cut the price. Ben Roethlisberger needs somebody who can help him move the chains besides Antonio Brown. It's not going to be Sammy Coates. Sammy Coates is go down the field and I'll hit you for the bomb. Who else can help me move the chains? Eli Rogers is the only guy left standing, so I like him.
How much do you like him?
I would bid about $14 on him.
Okay, so is that your number one wide receiver then? Is that what you said?
Of the guys that are probably available, yes.
Tony Cincata.
I love Eli Rogers. Loved him since day one. And he's a guy that I think in an offense at Pittsburgh can put up. The one thing that worries me, though, is he plays out of the slot. And the Pittsburgh Steelers do use Le'Veon Bell a lot out of the slot. So I would get worried about the opportunity. So I would go around $10. And I think it's the play, though, with the biggest upside.
Okay. Yeah, Corey?
I tell you my situation right now. This is a team where I have Odell Beckham, T.Y. Hilton, Corey Coleman, Golden Tate, Robert Woods, Dontrell Inman. Now, three of those wide receivers right there that I just mentioned are on bye this upcoming week. So I'm going to have a situation where I'm going to need to play one of these guys. I have $288 left in Fab. Eli Rogers is on the waiver wire. My running back situation, for the most part, at this point in the season in this team, is set. It's guys like Spencer Ware, LeSean McCoy, I believe LeGarrette Blount is on this team. So I'm deep today at running back. I got $288 left. Eli Rogers is on it. I'm thinking, I hope nobody in the league is listening.
Okay.
But I'm thinking 135.
What league is this?
This is a fantasy football world championship.
You're thinking here, Scotty.
Yeah, probably scale it back to about 111.
Somebody has to say something. This is
great. Yeah. Probably scale it back to about 111. I want to see. I don't know if I see where you're going.
I need a wide receiver to play this week, Scott. This team is six and three.
Right.
Fifth in points, though. Top 4 points go to the shootout.
I think you're okay with it then, yeah.
At 135?
Yeah.
What do you think, Tom?
136.
136. What do you think, Tom?
No, I think we're getting to a point where you have to go. This is what you have to do for everybody out there. If you're in a competitive league, you got to go and look and see how much fab dollars that people have. If you find a guy that has like $900 out of 1,000 left, look to see when the last time he made a bid. If he hadn't made a bid in the last 4 weeks, don't worry about him. He's given up on the season. But if you look at other guys there, and then you have to figure out, hey, someone's going to make a move for a guy like Eli Rogers in that type of situation. They're going to go 90% of their budget. So you're going to have, if you really need that guy, you got to go 91%, and you got to go $1 over that guy. That's what I did with Gary Sanchez, and I ended up overbidding betting in baseball. I bid $222, but that's exactly what I did, and it paid off and put me in the money just because of that one bid, even though I overpaid. You just have to take everything in precaution, and you have to look at other teams' fab money to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. You do, and don't be afraid to overbid. Look, in Scott's Fishbowl this last week, I bid $17 on Chikandrick West. You know, I probably regret it, but, you know, you can't confuse the result with the decision,
right,
like Tony says. And I comfortably had a starting running back going into my lineup, and I didn't have to roll out a desperation play in a very deep league.
I bid $26 on Chikandrick West and lost, and I was very, very upset about it. And I wound up starting Anton Smith, and I wound up winning the week and getting lucky. But, you know, I was still annoyed that my bid, which I thought was significant, didn't get the job done. Other wide receivers I have on the list, we spoke about Tyreek Hill and Albert Wilson and Chris Conley, the guys in Kansas City with Jeremy Maclin out. If Dacho Inman is still out there, I still like him. I picked him up everywhere last week. I do like him, potentially without Travis Benjamin here this week. I'm buying Phillip Rivers and the offense. With all this being said, guys, I'm going to start with you here, Corey. Are there any other wide receivers that we have not mentioned that you like?
I think we hit the wide receiver situation pretty good. I think that we got through everybody that could possibly be out there. I look at a guy we talked about it earlier. I'm sacrificing. I just seen the Seattle Seahawks play their best offensive game of the year.
Yep.
And Tyler Lockett was irrelevant. And that's a guy I'm sacrificing. He's going to waiver wire.
Okay. What about you, Scotty?
I wrote about this in Advanced Scout too. Somebody interesting I'm keeping my eye on is Bryce Treggs of the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'll tell you why. The Eagles' pass defense had all kinds of holes poked in it. And if this team is going to continue to give up the points, they're going to have to score the points. Nelson Aguilar ain't doing it. Dorial Green-Beckham ain't doing it. I like what I saw from Bryce Treggs this past week.
Deep league. All right. What about you, Tom?
Two guys on the waiver wire. Brandon LaFell is still on waiver wires. He gets a good matchup against the Giants secondary this week. He's a guy you could add. And then if you need 10 fantasy points, I believe in a matchup against Carolina Panthers, Chris Conley will be a guy that you could go ahead and put in your roster this week.
Yep, Chris Conley, one of those guys on Kansas City. Tight end-wise, Corey, you mentioned Eric Ebron as a top five option for you yesterday. Now, Jimmy Graham, I would assume you usurped his spot in that top five?
Jimmy Graham, but phenomenal performance last night. It's so rare you see players come back from this patellar tendon injury. I think, Scott, when we still was on the ship, we had Dr. David Geyer come on the show. You might remember this too, Tony.
Yes.
Dr. David Geyer came on the program, and he talked about the patellar injury being an injury that players generally do not tend to come back from. Mm-hmm. I think he said about 8 in 10 guys do not fully recover ever. Jimmy Graham, obviously a freak athlete, and I'm telling you, he's getting it done. I'm blown away by how well Jimmy Graham played so far this season, and I was wrong on him.
But let me tell you something else, and this is what I've read, is that they've also made improvements in the surgery from that injury.
Mm-hmm. Which is a nice job. But it still
took Victor Cruz 2 years to get back on the field.
The improvements have come after Victor Cruz injured himself.
Still very impressive what Jimmy Graham has obviously done. Lance Kendricks, you called him as a plug-and-play last week.
Yep.
You liked him as a streamer, Corey. Does that continue?
Yeah, Lance Kendricks is involved. He's in the mix. And they said they're going to go with Case Keenum until they're eliminated, which should be shortly.
Yep.
So I think Lance Kendricks still has good value until Jared Goff takes over that situation. Then I think none of them have value.
Tony, would you rather have this week and going forward Lance Kendricks or C.J. Fedorowicz?
C.J. Fedorowicz, but I would like to punt on both.
Okay. Yep. You can do that. Right, well, it's fine. Just wasn't sure.
Looking at a league right now where Lance Kendricks is on the waiver wire. He has the Jets this week.
I don't know if Fedorowicz is available in a lot of leagues.
He's available.
He got picked up a lot.
He did, but they had a bye week last week, so he was dropped
in a lot
of places.
So that's a good point, but I like Fedorowicz.
Well, no, favorite Polish player?
Maybe Gronkowski first. But he's got double-figure fantasy points in 3 of his last 4 games.
Tony, I know you've been mentioning him all week. Dennis Pitta plays on Thursday in a good matchup against the Browns.
Yeah, they just don't defend the tight end position well. And a lot of times we get overanalyzed.
Worse than the AFC, yeah.
Yeah, we overanalyze sometimes the matches, but Joe Flacco throws the ball more than any other quarterback in the NFL. Take a shot with Dennis Pitta this week for sure.
And I don't know how many waiver wires he's out there on. Probably not many. Jason Witten, somehow, if he's out there, obviously you're spending quite a bit of cash on that. Okay, when we come back on the Roto Experts in the morning, I believe it will be Corey sitting in and moderating with me as Scott and Tony will go to the polls and try to earn your vote. We do it next on the Roto Experts in the morning. That's the music you hear as you enter the polling booth again as Scott Engel going against trying to earn your vote against Tony Sincana this morning. Corey Parson and myself will be moderating this particular poll. We are poll watching here. And in our first vote, in which Scott represented red against Corey's blue, Bavona had previously told us that Scott Engel's Red Squad won about 70 to 30 in the voting, so it's a large margin here for Scott. So congratulations on the first vote, Scott.
I'd like to welcome Corey Parson to my ticket.
Yes,
the he's not on your ticket. He's a moderator.
I'm a moderator.
He's a moderator. Okay. Yeah.
After it's all done.
With that being said, Scott, your squad here this morning, that your constituents you will be trying to convince to vote for you is Todd Gurley, Philip Rivers, and Latavius Murray. Those are your blue team. And Tony, the red squad that you represent are Mark Ingram, Marcus Mariota, and Frank Gore.
Pat Mayo not voting.
Okay, well, he's Canadian, so it doesn't make sense. He's voting in our election, so you don't need to bring him up. All right, Tony Sincana. Marcus Mariota has been out of a job. Then he got his job back. Now, people look at the job rate, and they see it fluctuating quite often in this country. How will you make your pitch to your voters that job security will not be an issue when you're elected?
You have to work hard in America. Nothing is given to you. Marcus Mariota comes from an Italian immigrant family that found their way to America and got lost in the hills of Oregon. They were looking for gold and they couldn't make it. So they were looking for a situation where he attended a university and found a pigskin and was able to throw that around a field and then get a job with the Tennessee Titans. And it wasn't given to him. He had to work for everything he had, and that's what America's about. Participation trophies in T-ball need to be done away with, and we need people to work like Marcus Mariota and get to the top of fantasy circles, NFL circles, and get it done. And we take everybody in our party. Even little fat guys like Mark Ingram can succeed in America. You drop the ball, and we give you another opportunity to get back in there, and you can tell people you love them and use ethnic slurs, and we still love you. We love Mark Ingram. And when you get old, we take care of the old and the new as Frank Gore. He's decrepit. He's old, and we never gave up on him. We put him against the young Andrew Luck, and we loved him and consoled him, and he was there for us.
Tony, you know, you need to fact correct you. You talk about Marcus Mariota, this Italian immigrant. In fact, he's Hawaiian and Samoan. There is no Italian in Marcus Mariota.
That's just
my understanding of Marcus Mariota.
Maybe because Cha-Cha kept calling him Mariotti on the episode.
Show me a birth certificate. I don't think a birth certificate exists.
Scott.
That's very Trump-like.
Well, Scott Engel, I have to go to you now because Tony defended his jobs plan here. And I need to know about your plan because your players, quite often this season, they have underachieved. And as a nation, we don't want to underachieve. We look at Todd Gurley as somebody that we believed in. He was our change candidate, and he's off the top of your ticket. You want to be this change candidate. And Todd Gurley, as a young professional here, he's gotten nothing done. And Latavius Murray, as a young professional, has got nothing done. What do you say to those that don't believe in the change that you're offering?
Look, I believe in helping out the middle class and not giving everything to the rich. Okay? Todd Gurley, he's been middle class. But you know what, though? In his last five games, he has scored in double figures consistently. We've seen 18-point games, 21-point games. There's something to be said for reliability. Sure, Todd Gurley hasn't been the first-round pick that we've wanted him to be. But we're in week 10. We need consistency. Todd Gurley is going to continue to give us consistency. My opponent talked about Frank Gore, mm-hmm. which was a great point. Todd Gurley has consistently been in about the same range fantasy-wise week to week. You can't deny the talent. And with the talent, with games like New Orleans and Miami coming up too, and Atlanta, Todd Gurley is also threatening to break out of the middle class at any time.
Candidate angle. One of the things that people say criticism about your candidacy is that you claim that you say that you're for the middle class, but you take and you defend a guy like Todd Gurley and say that he is the middle class when Gurley has done nothing for the middle class. This looks like trickle down economics. Mm. Todd Gurley, a part of the top 1%, mm-hmm. has not given anything back to fantasy owners, and you are standing here defending him. Can you please further your position on that?
Because we expected Todd Gurley to be a Greg Sussman 1%er, but he is not. He is
calling
part of the middle class.
Not a good way to earn a
He has become part of the middle class, and we have accepted
Why did you tell Americans to spend so much money on Todd Gurley back in August, and he does not make return on that? Do you think that you have to... Do you think you owe the American public an excuse for saying that Todd Gurley was a guy that America should get behind, and now we have clearly seen it has not turned out that way?
If I have to do that, then every politician and fantasy expert has to do it. Sir,
hey, King Scott Engel.
We are not in August.
Listen to me to King Scott Engel. Your guy Todd Gurley is just like little Mako. You guys get him in office. He doesn't show up to vote. He doesn't show up at all. And bottom line is him and little Mako should hang out together. And this is the problem. We want guys that are reliable. My candidates, all off of that. Frank Gore, reliable, shows up every day. Marcus Mariota shows up every day. Mark Ingram was disgraced. He could have hung himself in the corner, but he got back up the next day, and he took the ball, and he ran it down the throats of the opponents.
Todd Gurley will continue to be reliable middle class.
Let me ask you both, gentlemen, about the quarterbacks, because there was a rumor earlier, last year actually, that Philip Rivers was going to leave your party, Scott, and head to the red state of Tennessee and be Tennessee's quarterback. And that Marcus Mariota, who could be the number two overall pick, would head to California and become blue. Now, Scott, if you had your choice, would you wish you made that trade for Philip Rivers for Marcus Mariota?
If I was the Titans?
No, if you were yourself. You own Philip Rivers. You own Philip Rivers right now. He's on your ticket. He's on your ballot. But would you rather have Marcus Mariota on your ballot?
You're saying who would I rather have for the rest of the way?
Yes.
Yes.
Very clearly.
Okay. See, this candidate clearly can understand questions.
Look,
I mean, if he has a cabinet, those meetings are going to be 3 hours. Nothing's
going to
get done.
My candidate.
The government is going to be stuck in gridlock.
This candidate against is a bully. And he harasses people. I have been with him. Women have come forward against him. And if Ted said, I have stories on him, I have been with him when he has told women, I will grab you by the muffin.
Candidate Engel, can you please stick to the
question.
What are we're asking you about Philip Rivers and what you would do with Philip Rivers as opposed to Marcus Mariota and this trade agreement.
I would rather have Philip Rivers because of his history. I respect Marcus Mariota and what he's doing, but Philip Rivers has the history on his side. He is consistently around 20 points a game every single week. I believe he's more on more of an air it out offense than the Tennessee Titans are. I respect Marcus Mariota, but I'd rather have Philip Rivers the rest of the way.
Candidate Engel, Marcus Mariota is seriously out. Well, not seriously. Marcus Mariota is outperforming Philip Rivers at the current moment, and you're talking about Philip Rivers' history. Voters want to know about this
season. Philip Rivers is a proven passer. That's why I have to talk about history. I know that he's going to continue to throw the ball, and his team is going to be there.
candidate, Sincato.
This is very short-sighted about the government. We are all about protecting America, what we have today, for the future, for our children. And when our children are around, Philip Rivers will be in a wheelchair because his wife had nine kids, and she went through labor, and they drove him crazy. So you have to focus on the future of America. You're all about yourself, candidate Angle.
I focus on the future for everybody, and the future is week 16, not next year. We're not playing in a dynasty league.
Mr. Sincato, you talk about the future and focusing on the future, and yet the third man on your ticket is Frank Gore, who's about 87 years old.
Yes.
So how do you preach that you're looking to the future when you have Frank Gore as third on your ticket?
Well, I'm glad you asked this, Mr. Sussman. Yep. Well, I'm all about keeping Social Security in place for the people, and I'm showing that by keeping Frank Gore employed in the National Football League. At 34 years of age, this is a running back that basically should be in the Smithsonian Institute, and that's what we're going to do with the career of Frank Gore. We'll put him in the Smithsonian Institute, but I am all about both. I can serve the youth of America, but I will not forget all you older people. I will not cut your Medicaid. I will not give Robert Turbin a job he don't deserve because I'm old. No way will Robert Turbin have any place in this cabinet.
And Candidate Sincato,
discrimination.
I wanted to ask you specifically about Medicaid. I had that written down on the sheet. At some point throughout the course of a long season, Frank Gore very well is more than likely going to need some kind of insurance, some kind of health care, some kind of medical attention. And you just said that Robert Turbin was not a
employable.
Robert Turbin was not employable. Are you telling the American fantasy owner, especially the guy who's on Medicaid like Frank Gore, that Robert Turbin is not a correct option?
No, he's not a correct option by any stretch of the imagination. Frank Gore is a guy that's a new age running back. He's changed. He used to be a guy to go tackle a tackle in the offense in San Francisco. Now, he takes the ball and he gets outside in pass patterns from Andrew Luck. So what we've done is now, you know, America's changing. All our jobs are going to India, and we have all these call centers that nobody can understand a damn thing that anybody's saying.
Whoa.
And we're taking the jobs and we're moving them outside the country. What we do with Frank Gore is we moved him outside the pocket. And he's catching balls in pass patterns and thus enabling a long and prosperous career. So take your call centers to India. We'll get them back in America, but I can only do one thing at a time.
This is discrimination.
Please.
No, I don't want a rebuttal.
No, you have
this is discrimination.
Final statement,
he's talking about India, and he's talking about not liking a turban. Okay, it's not right. Second off, this guy does not back the elderly. I have history and proof of this. He makes fun of Lenny Melnick's podcast. And last week, when he didn't like my analysis, he said that was Lenny Melnick analysis. So he is a hypocrite.
And Scott just ended his debate for Todd Gurley talking about Lenny Melnick. So that doesn't decide your vote. I don't know what does.
He does not support the elderly.
Vote at FNTSY Radio. Hour number 3 of the Roto Experts comes your way next.